Reincarnated for Revenge. Chapter 471. Used to being aloof, oh, right. Wanda touched her face, hastily got out of bed, and went to wash up. Callista peeled off her bathrobe, revealing the slip dress she wore beneath. Then, the sound of running water and Wanda's voice echoed from the bathroom. Callie, why don't you stay with me for the next few days? I'll do my best to bring Callum to heel soon. I'll discuss this with old Mr. Yancey tomorrow, her voice trailed off toward the end, clearly lost in her own thoughts. Suddenly, Callista became a bit curious about what kind of expression Callum would have when he finally discovered the truth. With this thought, she was definitely going to keep her lips sealed. After freshening up, Wanda turned to Callista and said, "I'm so thrilled you're sleeping with me tonight. I've wanted to share a bed with you for a long time." "Why?" Callista climbed into bed, staring blankly at her. The warm light softened her expression, her delicate features and twinkling eyes stirring a primal desire within Wanda. She couldn't help but praise her own foresight. "I must say, my judgment is impeccable. I knew from when we're little that you'd grow up to be a stunner." She hopped onto the bed, turning to look at Callista with a grin. "Back then, I thought to myself, I can't give birth to such a beautiful child, but I have a son. I can have my son bring you home, then you would be mine." Warmth spread through Callista's heart. It was undeniable that Wanda had showered her with tenderness, she just hadn't known how to appreciate it back then. That was why she valued it immensely now. "I'm willing to be your child." Callista also lay on her side, looking at her. Her lips curled up in a smile as she moved closer and said, "When I was a kid, I used to wish, if only I were your real daughter." The depth of her words stirred a pang of sympathy in Wanda's heart. Yet, she was also pleased to hear Callista have such thoughts. Reaching out, she gently patted her head. "If you were my own child, Callum would undoubtedly give me a hard time. I can tell he loves you dearly. Of course, I love you too." During her youth, Wanda had spent her time abroad, so she was quite forthright when it came to expressing her feelings. On the other hand, Callista was much more reserved. Upon hearing the older woman speak in such a manner, she shyly lowered her head and moved closer to her. "The greatest gift my mother ever gave me was becoming your friend," Wanda playfully said. "Oh dear, if Callum hears this, he'll definitely be jealous. Speak of the devil." Callista's phone, which was placed on the bedside table, began to ring at that moment. Callista answered, and the voice of Callum came through from the other end. "Callie, is Mom feeling any better?" With a sneaky chuckle, Callista glanced at the nervous Wanda before nodding her head. "Yes, she's much." Callum seemed to let out a sigh of relief. Following that, he let out a tortured groan, turned around, and said in a hoarse whisper, "What should I do? I think I'm sick." "Oh? What illness?" "I'm lovesick. It feels like I'm dying," Callum responded mournfully. His body was racked with unbearable discomfort, yet it was not like he could compete with his own sick mother for Callista's attention. It was infuriating. Why couldn't Sean be a woman? Callista pursed her lips and chuckled. "Who asked you to add something extra to the milk?" This time, Callum told her very seriously, No, it has nothing to do with the milk. It doesn't matter whether I drink it or not, because when it comes to you, I'm constantly overwhelmed with desire, and it's never satisfied. Callista found her cars quietly burning as she listened. Wanda really wanted to know what Callum had said, but she felt too embarrassed to ask. All she could do was try her best to eavesdrop. "Hurry up and get some sleep," Callista suggested, feeling the need to end their conversation. She felt an odd shift within herself, as if something was stirring. "I can't sleep," Callum muttered. His eyes suddenly brightened as he whispered a proposition. "Once Mom is asleep, would you come and keep me company? Just for a couple of hours, even an hour and a half would do." "Oh." There was no denying Callista found herself tempted by his words. Fearing her refusal, Callum quickly interjected, "Ah, it's settled then. Sneak over when the situation allows. I'll be waiting for you all night long." After speaking, he quickly hung up the phone. What was it? What did Callum say? Wanda asked with curiosity. Callista curved her lips into a smile. "He's just concerned about your health. Don't worry and go to sleep." Callum waited with great anticipation. He had made up his mind. If Callista were to come, he would have Quintus guard his mother's door. At any sign of movement, Quintus would immediately notify him. There was no way this could go wrong. The idea was indeed appealing, the only crucial factor was whether or not Callista would show up. To be honest, it was a mystery. Although the half cup of milk had some influence, and Callista had a special place for him in her heart, she was used to being aloof. The chances of her taking the initiative were probably less than 10%. Thus, while Callum was tossing and turning in discomfort, he was also praying fervently, begging for her to come. As Callum thought, Callista initially had no plans of going over. She wasn't someone incapable of being ruthless, otherwise, she wouldn't have tied up Callum overnight. She had barely settled into bed when her phone vibrated. Glancing over at Wanda, she noticed that the older woman was already drifting off, looking somewhat worn out. Not wanting to disturb her, she silenced her phone before checking the new message. As expected, it was from Callum. "Callum, Callie, my dear, please just sneak away. Just for an hour and a half, or even an hour will do." Chapter 472. Would an hour be enough? Callista, bear with it. That's what you get for eating recklessly. And you even thought of dragging me down with you. Callum sent a crying emoji with his text. "Callie, can you bear to see me suffer another whole night like I did yesterday? I might just get a medical problem if I hold back any longer." Unable to contain herself, Callista burst out laughing, as Wanda already believed that he had issues now. "Callista, Would an hour be enough to satisfy you?" Upon seeing an opportunity, Callum promptly sat up straight. He had a book by his side, in which he quickly scribbled a sentence and highlighted it. "Acting cute can yield great results." "Callum, absolutely no problem. Only if you give me a bit of warmth can I endure the long night ahead. Otherwise, I'll die. I'll definitely die." Callista cast a glance at Wanda. In the darkness, her face was slightly flushed, and her heartbeat had quickened a bit. "Callista, wait for me. Yea. Callum immediately sprang up from the bed, unabashedly stripping off his clothes. He only had an hour, so time was of the essence. Since Callie has agreed to come over, she must be prepared. If that's the case, let's get straight to the point. Please hurry and come over. He picked up his phone, swiftly typing out a few words. Callum, everything's set and ready to go, just waiting for my queen's inspection. Callista rubbed her forehead, regretting the words she had sent earlier. However, it wasn't long before she received a message from Callum. His urgency was so palpable that she could feel his impatience through the screen. Really, why did I impulsively agree to this? It must be due to that half glass of milk, which is making me feel restless and needy. Roughly half an hour passed before Wanda's steady breathing reached her ears. Callista's heart pounded fiercely. In that moment, she felt as if she were a thief. If she finds out, she'll definitely laugh at me. With this thought, Callista felt even less inclined to go. However, she had made a promise. Moreover, her body was indeed under the influence of the drug, growing increasingly hot and desperate. And so, she quietly slipped out of bed, not even bothering to put on her shoes, and stealthily left. Callum's room was a bit far from Wanda's. Even though the house was temperature controlled, she, dressed only in a slip nightgown, still felt a slight chill. The hallway was gently illuminated by the comforting glow of the lights, casting away the darkness and ensuring she wouldn't lose her way. Callista hesitated upon arriving at the door to Callum's room. The door was left slightly ajar, with not a single sound emanating from within the room. Callista extended her hand, giving a gentle push. The door gap widened slightly, revealing nothing but pitch, black darkness within. Could it be Callum has already fallen asleep? With that thought in mind, she began to have second thoughts. Since he's already asleep, perhaps I should go back. With that, she let out a sigh of relief. Yet, there was a tinge of disappointment in her heart. Just a tiny bit. Just as Callista turned around, the door behind her suddenly swung open. A hand swiftly covered her mouth, while another wrapped around her waist. Before she could even gasp in surprise, she was abruptly dragged into the room. The door slammed shut. The next instant, Callista found herself pinned to the bed. Beneath her, she could feel the soft duvet, while a scorching hot body pressed against her back. If not for the familiar, refreshing scent that filled her senses, she would have surely screamed. But in the next moment, she couldn't help but shriek, "You! Why are you not dressed?" Not only was Callum unclothed, but he also went straight to lifting her nightgown before ripping off her underwear. "This is going way too fast, until..." Callista, in her anxiety, had the urge to resist. But being pinned onto the bed with her back toward him, she had barely moved her hands when they were both locked behind her by Callum in a reverse grip. The scorching breath and tense muscles pressing against her nearly drove Callista to the edge of insanity. "You..." Before she could say more than that, her legs were spread apart, and then, he entered her. At that moment, both of them let out a stifled moan. Fortunately, Callista was exceptionally gifted. Even when treated like this, she didn't feel too much pain. However, it was overly stimulating, somewhat more than she could handle. For Callum, it was even more so. He had been waiting for half an hour and was starting to think she wasn't going to come at all, sinking into despair. Then, out of the blue, she appeared. Yet, she wanted to leave after showing up. No way. Hence, in a fit of excitement, he impulsively pulled her in and forced himself on her. Her tightness was too intoxicating, making him abandon his initial plan of giving her time to adjust. Over and over, he moved his hips relentlessly. Be gentle, Callista gritted her teeth, taking a moment to regain her composure before she could utter those words. This jerk. Doesn't he realize how well, in doubt he is? I can hardly bear it. Slow down. Chapter 472 Would an hour be enough? I can't. In the darkness, Callum lowered his head, gently nibbling on her earlobe while he huskily whispered, Your body is amazing. I can't stop. All I want is to ravish you. At this point, Callista was truly pushed to her breaking point. In the darkness, the sounds of their activity were particularly loud as the temperature rose between them, pleasure built up layer by layer, yet it was so overwhelming that it became uncomfortable. Callista tried hard to endure it, but still, soft moans escaped her lips. Feeling her active reciprocation, the overwhelming pleasure surged to an even higher peak. Abruptly feeling touched, Callum held her tightly in his arms, moving rhythmically while repeatedly whispering her name in her ear. Callie, Callie. I love you. I love you so much. At that moment, his words seemed to pierce straight into her soul. A tremor ran through Callista's heart. For an instant, she felt as if a flash of white light had crossed her vision, and all the sounds around her seemed to vanish. Callum had brought her this happiness. It turned out that other than pain, there could be such pleasure between a man and a woman. As for Callum, if Callista had told him to drop dead at that moment, he wouldn't have hesitated. Their fingers were entwined, time seemed to have passed significantly, yet it also felt like just a moment. In any case, the night was still young, if Callista could handle it. After that one time, Callista finally understood the feeling she had when she was 18, as if her whole body was falling apart. However, it was clear that Callum was hooked. To him, the initial encounter was merely a warm up. Every cell in his body was crying out for more. He was utterly infatuated with every inch of the woman beneath him, a feeling so intense it ached in his heart. Yet, Callista was pushing him away with both hands. At that moment, she was immensely grateful to Wanda for having such forethought. Had she not been sleeping with Wanda tonight, given Callum's insatiableness as soon as he got a taste of intimacy, she might have ended up exhausted to death in bed, no more. I should go back now. More than an hour had already passed, but Callum didn't feel it at all. No. Callie, I'm not done yet. I've only just started. I'll get sick. As he spoke, he shamelessly moved closer to her once more, letting her feel firsthand that what had just transpired was merely an appetizer. The main course was yet to come. At that moment, Callista felt a sense of despair. If what she had just experienced, being pinned beneath him for an hour, was merely the prelude, she didn't want to go on. She was in so much pain down below that she suspected it must be swollen. No way. That's your mother we're talking about. She's sick right now and needs someone to look after her at night. How could you be so unfeeling? There was no denying Callista's words did stir some emotions in Callum. Nonetheless, he still clung to Callista, unable to bring himself to let go. But if you leave now, I'll fall ill too. I'll get blue balls. Why don't you ever feel for me? Speechless, Callista could only manage to stammer out, "You. Can't you just use your hand?" As soon as she uttered those words, she felt a piercing gaze from Callum in the darkness. He seemed to be staring at her with a menacing intensity. With that said, he leaned in to kiss her again, attempting to awaken her desire. Because she couldn't see, her other senses became even more acute. No matter how much Callista squirmed beneath him, she couldn't escape his fiery kiss. Moreover, with every movement she made, Callum's body temperature seemed to rise even more. Callista found it unbearable the way Callum was calling her name. It felt as if her heart was being tickled with a feather. Yet, the pain from her lower region brought her back to reality. Caught in this struggle between clarity and desire, she was torn. Despite her half-hearted resistance, in the end, Callum had his way. As he once again slipped inside, Callista let out a soft cry of both pain and pleasure. Since she didn't voice it out, Callum was unaware of her discomfort. After all, this was their third time, and he expected that she would have adapted by now. The mix of pleasure and pain had Callista failing to suppress her soft moans. Unbeknownst to her, her sounds resembled pleas for mercy. Under the influence of such sounds, it only intensified the man's desire, making the situation even more uncontrollable. But at that moment, Quinta suddenly came over and knocked on the door. "Mr. Callum, Mrs. Fairchild has awoken and is currently searching for Ms. Callistel." With just one sentence, Quinta successfully startled Callum. Snapping out of her pleasured haze, Callista seized the opportunity. She quickly wriggled out of Callum's embrace and, in a swift motion, jumped off the bed. She quickly pulled down the dress that had been pushed up to her chest before hurriedly saying, "My godmother is calling for me. She might not be feeling well. You don't need to come over, I can handle it by myself. If anything comes up, I'll call you." As Callista spoke, she was already on her way out. By the time she finished her last word, she had flung the door open and dashed out. Originally, Callum intended to chase after her, but he was not dressed, and there was still his unfulfilled desire. Moreover, he was worried that his mother might genuinely be unwell. During that split second he hesitated, Callista had already disappeared from sight, leaving him with no choice but to vent his frustration by pounding his fist on the bed. Why was his mother so unhelpful? It was as if she was trying to drive him to his wit's end. After Callista stepped out, she let out a long sigh of relief. Quintus looked at her with a face full of interest, though it was unclear what he was imagining. Callista initially didn't want to bother with him, but then she halted in her tracks to utter a sentence, "No one is allowed to speak of tonight's events, understood?" Quintus nodded repeatedly. "Rest assured, Ms. Callista. I will certainly not tell anyone that you spent an hour in Mr. Callum's room in the middle of the night. You. Callista looked at Quintus, who had a mischievous grin on his face. Suddenly, she felt too drained to argue any further. This time was much more intense than the last, so she could barely even walk steadily. However, to prevent Wanda from suspecting anything, she had to endure her discomfort and slowly make her way back to the room. Upon seeing her return, Wanda let out a sigh of relief. I just woke up and couldn't find you. Where were you? Then, with her hand against her chest, she exclaimed, I dreamt that Callum had taken you away. It scared me awake. Chapter 474. Both did not sleep well. You weren't dreaming. He did take me away and tormented me for over an hour before finally allowing me to return to you. With a peculiar expression, Callista took a moment before managing to reply, I went downstairs for a drink of water. Wanda sat on the bed, looking at her curiously. Is there no water left in the fridge? Callista gave a non-committal hum in response, then climbed into bed, ready to sleep. Wait. Wanda suddenly exclaimed, reaching out to grab her wrist. What happened to your hands? They look like someone has been squeezing them. They're all red. Her words instantly reminded Callista of how her hands had been twisted behind her earlier when he pinned her beneath him, immobilizing her and leaving her at his mercy. The memory made her face flush red instantly, and she quickly withdrew her hand. It's nothing serious, probably just an allergy. A good night's sleep should sort it out. Since it was quite late, Wanda didn't give it much thought when she saw Callista had returned. She was extremely tired and decided to continue her sleep. Before drifting off, she managed to mumble, Callie, don't worry. With me here. Callum will be fine. She didn't explicitly express her suspicions about Callum's health condition. Instead, she comforted Callista, planning to resolve the matter the following day. Callista lay down, turning her back to Wanda. She glanced at her own wrists, which were indeed swollen. Not only that, she guessed that she was probably a complete mess beneath her nightgown. Callum had left quite a few marks on her, as if he wanted to vent all his pent-up energy on her. Moreover, she had seen flashes of white light several times and felt as if she was falling from the clouds. Could those have been orgasms? At that thought, her face turned increasingly red, and it felt as though her heart was about to leap out of her throat. Back when she was 18, all she had felt was pain, and the previous time, she had been in control, so it was truly a fleeting experience, unlike today. She felt as if she was no longer herself and utterly powerless, completely at the mercy of Callum as he did whatever he wanted to her. Stop thinking about it. Callista patted her own face, forcing herself to sleep. Despite the obvious aches in her body and her exhaustion, her mind refused to rest. The moment she closed her eyes, she could feel his warmth and hear his low, seductive voice whispering sweet nothings in her car, calling her name. She was going mad. What was happening to her? Why did she keep recalling these things? The next day, when Callista woke up, she felt absolutely terrible. Her body had been pushed to its limits the night before, which led to her going to bed late. To make matters worse, she woke up with a sore back and aching lower region. Had Callum thought of her as an enemy last night? Although her mind was teeming with thoughts, Callista maintained her usual stoic expression. Only those close to her could discern something was amiss. Upon seeing Callista's weary appearance, Wanda curiously asked, "Didn't you sleep well last night? You seem quite drained." Callista nodded. "I had a nightmare." "Oh," Wanda nodded, then muttered under her breath, "Being young is truly a blessing, isn't it? Even with a lack of sleep, your skin still appears as if it's been nourished. How enviable." Upon hearing that, Callista wished she hadn't. She truly didn't know how to express her feelings at the moment. Fortunately, she had given herself an acupuncture treatment the previous night to prevent pregnancy. Otherwise, her situation would have been even more pitiful. She was sure it was that half cup of milk that led her to act so irrationally. Upon seeing Callum, Wanda was taken aback. "Callum, did you also have a rough night?" Callum's eyes were bloodshot, his complexion looking particularly ghastly, clearly indicating that he hadn't slept a wink the previous night. Upon seeing his supposedly sick mother, Callum's expression turned peculiar. But as a man, there was no way he could hold a grudge against his own mother, could he? And so, he muttered under his breath, "Yeah. I had a bit of trouble sleeping, but I'm fine." Wanda found herself wondering why both hadn't slept well last night. Could this possibly be some sort of psychic connection? During breakfast, Callum glanced at Callista from across the table. An aggrieved expression appeared on his face, making it seem as if he was the one who had suffered a great injustice the night before. Seeing that, Callista grew upset. She was the orph who had suffered at his hands, and yet, he had the audacity to look wronged. What was he trying to pull? She was determined not to let this kind of behavior slide. Once she noticed everyone had arrived, Wanda softly cleared her throat. "Callie, are you planning to visit the hospital today?" Callista nodded, which only served to darken Callum's expression. He stabbed at the food in front of him with his fork, his mind filled with longing. When would Callista be able to accompany him to his? Wouldn't the sight of her working invigorate him a hundredfold? Company. Wanda then turned to Callum. "Callum, hold off on rushing to the company for a bit. I have something to discuss with you." Callista was taken aback, slightly fearful that Wanda might inadvertently reveal the truth. Considering Callum's intimidating demeanor last night, reminiscent of a wolf ready to pounce, she wouldn't dare to return tonight if that were the case. Thus, she looked at Callum with anticipation, hoping that he had urgent matters to attend to and would have to leave immediately. However, Callum let her down, responding with a lackluster nod. "All right." Wanda was pleased. She turned to the housekeeper beside her and said, "Go check if old M. Yancey is up yet. I'll need his help with something later." The housekeeper hurried off, leaving Callista feeling restless. She thought it best to leave first, if the situation spiraled out of control later, she feared she wouldn't be able to escape. "I've finished eating, Is that all you're eating? Eat some more." Wanda and Callum spoke at the same time. Callum was thinking, considering how hard she had worked the night before, how could he not ensure she was properly taken care of? Chapter 475. Applying medicine. Callista waved her hand and said, I didn't sleep well last night, so I don't really have an appetite.
I should
get going.
Only then did Wanda nod.
Then if you're hungry when you're at the hospital, remember to grab a bite to eat, all right?
I got it.
After speaking, Callista got up to change her clothes. However, all her clothes were in Callum's room. It was as if every time she tried to escape, various collie circumstances kept her tied to him, preventing her from even switching rooms, an aim she had not achieved despite the time passed. She resigned herself to having to go to his room. After all, Callum was still having his breakfast. If she moved a bit faster. Upon seeing Callista ascend the stairs, Callum's eyes lit up. He put down his fork and said, I'm done eating. Wanda shot him a reproachful look.
No way.
You're a grown man, so how can you eat so little? Don't think I don't know what you're up to.
You're not going anywhere.
Callum looked at her accusingly, his purple eyes filled with dissatisfaction.
Mom.
Your reaction is quite odd, isn't it?
Don't you want me to build a relationship with Callie?
Besides, I've already given you her evening hours, while she has to go out during the day.
You can't possibly not give me any time with her, right?
Or are you up to some strange scheme again?
Callum looked at her with suspicion.
No way.
Wanda, feeling guilty, quickly retorted, I'm doing this for your own good. However, she felt that Callum had a point.
Callista usually spent the whole day out, only coming home to sleep at night. Reflecting on this, she felt a pang of sympathy for her son, and so she changed her tune.
All right, you can go up, but you mustn't do anything, understand?
Callie didn't get enough rest last night, so don't bother her.
With a huff, Callum said, if one didn't know any better, they'd think Callie was your actual child, not me.
Having said that, he didn't wait for Wanda to scold him and quick went upstairs. After Callista had chosen her clothes and was in the middle of changing, she heard the door suddenly swing open. She was certain she had locked it. However, the doors in Fairchild Manor had fingerprint identification. Callum held the highest level of authority, which meant he had unrestricted access to every part of Fairchild Manor. In a state of panic, Callista turned around, revealing the marks on her back from the night before. The sight caused Callum's breath to hitch. He hadn't been that rough last night, had he? Why did it look so severe? It even made his heart ache.
Get out.
Callum could hear the panic in her voice, and he shook his head.
Let me apply some medicine for you.
Just as Callista was about to decline, Callum had already gone to get the medicine. In haste, Callista began to dress herself, but in the next moment, she was embraced from behind.
Come on, we've slept with each other several times already, so why are you still so shy?
I'm just applying medicine.
I won't touch you unnecessarily.
Regardless, Callista simply didn't believe him. Just last night, Kohler had held her from behind in the same manner, not giving her any chance to resist while doing as he pleased. Thus, when he held her like that again, all Callista wanted to do was run.
Callum slapped her on the rear.
Don't move. His warm breath brushed against her earlobe, and his voice, hoarse with a hint of amusement,
warned, "If you move again, I can't promise that all I'll do is apply medicine." When he said this, Callista immediately froze, not daring to move a muscle. She never imagined that there would come a day when she would be so cowed by his words. Seeing her finally calm down, Callum cast a glance at her blushing face and murmured, "Good girl." The suggestive tone caused Callista's face to redden even further. "You're only to apply medicine." Callum nodded. "Then you have to be good." Callista found herself enveloped in his embrace, her entire body feeling as if it were burning from his temperature. She declared valiantly, "Come on, then. I still need to go out, so hurry up." Callum's eyes darkened, his distinct features brushing against the side of her face. "The way you put it sounds like an invitation. But if you're asking me to hurry up, I'm afraid I don't do quick." "Callum." Callista gritted her teeth. "Show some seriousness and be proper." "How could this be proper?" Callum lifted Callista from behind, and the moment her feet left the ground, she let out a soft gasp. The skirt that had been draped over her leg slipped off. Now, apart from her underwear, she was completely exposed. "Callum. You dare." Callista protested, struggling as Callum laid her down on the bed. Suddenly, Callum spoke in a low voice. "Are you doing this on purpose?" His handsome face was filled with a look of restrained patience. "You know full well I can't resist your allure, yet you continue to squirm beneath me." Left with no other choice, Callista could only say, "You can't touch me." "Why?" Because. "I think I'm injured there." As soon as she said this, Callum became agitated. "You're hurt? Why didn't you say something sooner?" As he spoke, he was about to remove her underwear, but Callista was adamant about protecting her modesty. "Stop it. I've already applied medicine there." Callum subtly raised an eyebrow, deciding not to insist further. "You applied the medicine yourself." An enchanting image surfaced in his mind, and he regretted not having witnessed it with his own eyes. "Yes, so you don't need to do anything. I can handle it myself." "Ah." Callista was abruptly flipped over by Callum, her face now upward. He promptly leaned in, one hand propped beside her face, the other gripping her chin, forcing her to lift her head and look at him. Chapter 476. Put on her shoes for her. "Kalik, I don't think you've quite grasped the nature of our relationship yet," he said. "Our relationship? What relationship? I thought you understood." Callum pinched her cheek, his tone full of indulgence and helplessness. "But it seems like you haven't considered this aspect at all, or is it that you're playing dumb, darling?" Callista's long hair sprawled across the bed, her gaze on Callum was hazy and dazed. Meanwhile, Callum wore a mischievous grin that sent her heart pounding with a mix of fear and excitement. I'm not playing dumb. Is that so?" Callum's eyebrows quirked slightly. "Then tell me, what exactly are we to each other?" Callista fell silent. Callum leaned in closer with a smile, earnestly telling her, "We've known each other for 20 years now. You're the girl I was promised to since childhood, and we've even done the most intimate thing a couple can do together. So why do you still act as if you want to keep a distance from me?" Do you think that's event possible? Callista shrank back, his smile sending chills down her spine and filling her with unease. As he leaned closer, her heart pounded wildly. This had to be an after effect from last night. You promised to give me time. At the very last moment, Callista pressed her hands against his chest, her tone filled with accusation as she said, "You said you wouldn't force me." A flicker of complexity flashed through Callum's eyes. He twirled a lock of her hair around his finger, gazing intently at her. "Yes, I did say I would give you time." He laughed again, but for some reason, his smile was significantly grimmer than before. He licked her ear gently, feeling her body shudder in response. His voice was soft, almost a whisper as he murmured, "But can you promise not to keep me waiting too long?" Before Callista could respond, Callum added assertively, his tone menacing as he declared, "And I won't accept any unfavorable responses. What's the difference between this and a dictatorship?" Callista felt a pang of reluctance, but then she realized that delaying things a bit was better than nothing, as it would give her more time. She did have feelings for Callum, but some grudges couldn't be let go overnight, so she decided to put it off for a little longer. Seeing how Callista seemed to be distancing herself from him, a pang of sorrow hit Callum. When would he finally be able to experience the mutual understanding and sweet companionship that other couples shared? Showing him affection and seeing him as someone to rely on? "Oh, you," Callum gently brushed her temple. "Turn around. I'll apply the medicine for you." Callista was obedient this time, turning around without resistance. The scratches and hickeys on her back were a testament to how wild Callum had been last night. Even though he had restrained himself, he still left traces of his love on her. Callum took out a medicated cream and applied it on her. After rubbing it in, the medicinal properties of the cream activated with the warmth and pressure of his palm. The areas he massaged felt warm and soothing, causing Callista to sigh in pleasure. "Callie, when will you accompany me to the headquarters?" After a brief moment, Callista asked in a subdued voice, "Why are we going to the headquarters?" Callum said in a deep voice, "I want to let them all meet you. She's the CEO's future wife, after all." Callista shook her head slightly. "I don't really enjoy crowded places." She was now more forthcoming with her thoughts than before. Having spent too much time in solitude, she gradually developed a distaste for crowded settings. Callum narrowed his eyes. "Wilbur said you should interact more with" at this point, Callista fell silent. Ever since she acknowledged her psychological problems, she refused to let herself continue without treatment, especially now that all her enemies were gone. She felt even more obligated to live a healthy life. Callum took Callista's silence as a sign of agreement, which made him a bit joyful. Seeing her comfortably close her eyes, he massaged with even more vigor. It seemed that as long as it pleased her, he was willing to do anything for her. "Why am I so smitten with you?" In the end, with a sigh, Callum pressed a kiss to the fair skin of her back, causing Callista's body to shudder. She muttered, "I also find it quite strange. You clearly didn't like me before. Guess I must have been blind back then," he quipped, maintaining a balance between humor and sincerity. After administering the medicine, he helped Callista get dressed. "I can dress myself." Callista maintained a stern expression, but her face involuntarily flushed, making her appear as if she was putting on a brave front. Callum stopped her, casting a threatening glance her way. "Misbehaving again, are you?" Only then did Callista awkwardly withdraw her hand, allowing Callum to dress her as if she were a life-sized doll. Callista was unbearably shy, blushing a deep pink all over. As Callum bustled about, diligently choosing clothes and accessories for her, then gently helping her into them, she once again experienced the feeling of being cherished. When Callum finally moved to put her shoes on, Callista was genuinely stunned. She had never seen Callum in a kneeling position before. Even though he was only on one knee, it still left her in shock. "I can really handle this myself." Callum stubbornly held her foot in his hand, his thin lips pursed and slightly upturned. "There's no need to be shy. If you agree, I'm willing to help you put on your shoes for the rest of your life." Saying so, he gently slipped the shoes onto her feet. Chapter 477. You need to vent. Callista watched him lower his proud head as he carefully tied her shoelaces. For some inexplicable reason, she let out a sigh. The past was like a dream, interwoven with reality. "Can I truly love someone the way I used to?" After tying her shoelaces, Callum stood up. Under her slightly bewildered gaze, he leaned in and gently kissed her on the cheek. His long eyelashes hung low, fluttering slightly. "I love you, Callie. Remember to think of me, okay?" His words seemed to cast a spell on Callista. All day long, his voice seemed to echo in her ears. "Why is this happening? After all, we had even shared the most intimate of moments. I had given him my all, and yet, this subtle barrier still persists. What am I supposed to do about it?" In a state of splitting headache, all she desired was to sleep. Perhaps, upon waking again, she might discover that all of this was but a dream. How could Callum possibly like me? He had clearly despised me all his life. Perhaps this is just a dream I yearned for but can never attain. The more she thought about it, the more confused she became. Her mental state had been unstable to begin with. The reason why this instability hadn't erupted before was because she had treated her rebirth as a game of revenge. But recently, she was forced to think more and more. Most of the time, she was fine, but when she wasn't, she was far from it. "Callie, if you're not feeling well, why don't you go home and rest?" Ambrose's voice reached her, jolting Callista back to reality. She hadn't gone to the hospital today, instead, she had come to see Ambrose. After the prior shock, Ambrose's health had been quite poor. Only recently did it seem to show some signs of improvement. "I'm sorry for coming to see you so late." Callista guiltily addressed Ambrose, yet Ambrose gave Jared a peculiar glance. It was because this was already the third time Callista had repeated these words, her mind seeming to wander aimlessly all day, for reasons unknown. Jared subtly signaled to his younger brother, then turned to Callista and said, "Let's go, I'll walk you out, you look like you could use some rest." Callista also realized that something was amiss with herself, and suddenly felt an urge to go back and see Wilbur while they were in the car. Jared couldn't help but ask, "What's bothering you so much?" Callista slightly furrowed her brows, she had already realized what was happening. From the moment she willingly gave herself to him last night, or perhaps since the last banquet where she actively provided Callum with an antidote, something felt off. Today, Callum's words, filled with affection and anticipation, had become the catalyst that ignited everything. What happened to me? Jared lit a cigarette, taking a deep drag. His narrow eyes were half closed, presenting an image of profound solitude. Is it because of Callum? Yeah. Callista didn't hide anything, because she considered Jared as her friend. Do you like him? Callista was taken aback. Jared chuckled lightly as he continued, it seems you've fallen for him. This is perfect since he likes you too. If the feelings are mutual, what is there to worry about? Callista gazed out the car window at the scenery receding in the rear view, falling silent for a moment before she finally said in a hushed tone, liking him makes me feel as though I am betraying myself. Huh. Jared, who was driving, raised an eyebrow in curiosity before asking with a smile, so, would you feel like you're betraying yourself if it turns out that you like me instead? Callista shook her head. Then the issue isn't with you, it's with him, Jared said, his gaze fixed on the road ahead, his voice a quiet murmur. Callista fell silent again because what Jared said wasn't quite right. Seeing her reaction, Jared asked again, so, there's a rift between you two, huh? What do you think he could do to bridge this gap? If only he could have died once, Callista replied, her gaze fixated on a spot outside the window. Her words startled Jared so much that he brought the car to an abrupt halt. Callista, safely secured by her seat belt, was unharmed but looked at him with clear dissatisfaction. If we were in the city, your actions could have caused a pile up, she said. What did you just say? Jared stared at her, disbelief evident in his eyes behind his glasses. You want Callum dead? Why? He hasn't seemed to have done anything to wrong you, has he? Did he cheat on you? Squinting his eyes, Callista's expression turned icy cold. Don't worry, I don't wish for his death. Weren't you asking about how to bridge the gap? Jared found his heart pounding increasingly, suddenly feeling a bit of sympathy for his love rival. Falling for a woman like Callista was definitely like a psychological roller coaster, where one could potentially crash at any moment. After giving it some thought, he said seriously, I feel like you've been bottling up a lot of things inside. You need to vent. How would I vent? Callista blinked at him, looking for more clarification. Swinging the steering wheel around, Jared said, let me take you somewhere. An hour later, at the racetrack in the mountainous area, Jared tossed over a helmet, which Callista caught with an outstretched hand. Is this how you vent? She asked with a playful glint in her eyes. Yup. Jared fondly patted a strangely shaped motorcycle as he continued, this is Dodge Tomahawk, professional racing motorcycle. Come on, I'll take you for a ride. Callista hesitated. This is quite risky. I don't think it's necessary for me to put my life at stake for your amusement. Jared couldn't help but shoot her a glare. At that moment, he had removed his glasses, making his face appear even more devilishly enticing. Chapter 478. Please try to give her some advice. Hurry up. You're not usually this long, winded. Callista remained still as she asked, You're not even wearing your glasses. Can he even see the road clearly? Speechless, Jared exclaimed, I was never nearsighted to begin with. I only wear glasses to make myself appear more inscrutable. Maybe you should try to hide your flirtatious gaze. Are you coming or not? Let's get this straight. A leisurely ride is fine, but I won't tolerate high speeds, Callista said as she carefully put on her helmet. With a flash of his teeth, Jared's smile was akin to that of a triumphant fox. Don't worry, I'm just taking you for a joyride. 10 minutes later, Callista's face was ashen. She had to cling tightly to Jared to avoid being thrown off the motorcycle. However, she did not scream. Even as the scenery rapidly receded around her because the speed was so fast, she still did not scream. Jared's voice, transmitted through the internal communication device of the helmet, reached her ears accurately. This won't do. You have to let it out. That's what venting is about. Callista's lips pursed even more tightly. The fear in her eyes was almost tangible, yet she forced herself not to cry out. It was as if expressing fear would mean admitting defeat, and she didn't want to admit to having fear, something she thought she had long since discarded. Callista. Fear itself isn't terrifying. What's truly terrifying is having no one to face it with you. Jared's voice, which was laced with humor yet carrying a hint of seriousness, echoed in her ears. Callista was taken aback when she heard that. So, what are you so afraid of? Whether it's me, Callum, or anyone else, there are many who would willingly share your burdens. So, what exactly is it that you're scared of? What you need to do isn't to discard your fears and become invincible, but to let yourself go, giving others a chance to get close to you. It's quite lonely being alone, isn't it? You could have been happier. Isn't it nice to let go of your fear? The cool, detached voice of Callista resonated in his ears, transmitted through the tight confines of his helmet. Jared couldn't help but laugh. Are you sure you're still alive if you're not even scared anymore? This statement of his sent a shock through Callista's heart, leaving her speechless for quite some time. What's the point of living if you never make mistakes, never experience fear, never feel pain, or never know sorrow? As he spoke, the sound of the wind suddenly roared in Callista's ears, making everything around her seem many times more real than just a moment ago. As the scenery rapidly receded, she experienced a sense of her want to scream. Stop! Stop! She clung tightly to Jared's hand, her fingers nervously digging into his clothes. Jared chuckled lightly. Are you scared now? As he spoke, he increased the speed even further, like a bolt of lightning, his motorcycle swiftly weaved through the bends left and right under the winter sunset. Callista felt like a leaf in the cold wind, holding onto Jared tightly, yet still in danger of being blown away. Stop! I'm scared. When she said this, it seemed as if Jared laughed out loud. His speed instantly surged to 400 miles per hour. Have you lost your mind? Callista exclaimed, her voice wavering slightly. If you don't scream, it means I'm not going fast enough. I can go even faster. Stop it. It seems you're looking to speed things up, huh? Finally, at a bend in the road, Due to the separation of the car tires, the vehicle sharply turned, causing Callista to let out a startled cry. The fear within her stimulated the secretion of hormones. There had been a few times where she felt as if her palms were going weak and she couldn't hold on any longer. Upon hearing Callista's scream, Jared did not slow down. Instead, he skillfully navigated the twists and turns, taking her along for the thrilling ride. "That's enough. Stop it." Callista couldn't help but scream, yet it felt as if she had shattered something precious. She felt as if she shouldn't have done so. However, all these conflicting emotions dissolved into nothingness in the face of the sudden turn of events. Her only outlet for the suffocating pressure in her chest was to scream. Unbeknownst to her, Jared had tightly pursed his lips. In reality, Jared didn't want to do this. Guiding her was akin to helping Callum, which held no benefit for himself. However, just before Callista arrived, Callum had called him and said Callista will be coming over. "Please try to give her some advice if you have the chance to." Hearing the word "please" from Callum should have been satisfying, yet it only managed to irk Jared. He asked Callum, "What if I intentionally try to provoke Callista?" Callum paused for a moment, then began to describe Callista's emotional state to him, finally concluding his explanation by saying, "Callie has been through a lot of pain in the past. So, if you also have feelings for her, you should guide her emotions in a positive direction. This isn't about competition, and there's no need to mention that I've called. My intentions are purely for her well-being, nothing more." After Jared ended the call, he was left with a lingering unease in his heart. Once, he had thought that apart from their family backgrounds, he was no less than Callum. So he couldn't understand why Callista didn't like him instead. However, it was only now that he realized he. Chapter 479. "I should be leaving too." Judging from his appearance and personality, it was hard to believe that Callum was capable of such levels of meticulousness. Unbeknownst to Callum, he had matured significantly. It seemed as if he had transformed to perfectly complement Callista's personality, becoming the ideal lover for her. This was not something just anyone could achieve. So, apart from Callista, Jared probably needed to vent too. Watching the scenery gradually fade away, seeing the light slowly dimming, feeling Callista's tight embrace and the warmth that spread from his back to his heart, a smile formed at the corners of Jared's mouth. "Remember it well, Jared. Remember her warmth and her scent. This memory is enough to last a long time. It's just as Callum said. Callista has suffered a great deal in the past. Of course, I could see that too. No girl is naturally this numb yet sensitive, so sharp yet guarded. Therefore, from the moment I started liking her, I made a subconscious effort not to put any pressure on her. I'm not the only one who thinks this way. Wyatt and Ambrose do too. None of them pressured her, yet they are all willing to go all out whenever she needs them. They simply wish for her well-being and hope that their affection could heal her and provide her with warmth." It was hard to believe that he would someday embody such a fearless spirit and learn to extend kindness unconditionally, all for the sake of her smile. Is it worth it? Actually, it is quite worth it. After all, who couldn't play the role of an angel once in a while? After getting off the motorcycle, Callista was unsteady on her feet, but the effect was quite obvious. Her face was flushed red, her eyes were bright and compelling, and she seemed somewhat annoyed, glaring at Jared. This was a stark contrast to her usual aloof demeanor, which made her seem incredibly lively. "You're practically asking for trouble. It's freezing outside, and there might even be icy patches on the road, yet you're riding so fast. I'll tell Ambrose about this." Feeling the chill of her harsh threats, Jared casually put on his glasses, a devilish grin spreading across his face as he said, "Too bad you can't handle it. Did you think I'd let just about anyone hop on my motorcycle?" Callista scoffed. "Just wait till you have to explain everything to Ambrose." Whenever Ambrose began to lecture, all Jared could do was endure it. Callista turned around in frustration, but almost fell due to her wobbly legs. Jared reacted swiftly, reaching out to steady her. Callista tumbled into his embrace. In that moment, they were incredibly close. Behind his glasses, the mirth in Jared's eyes vanished and was replaced by a seriousness that was almost stern. "Callista, Callum wishes for you to open your heart, to be happy like everyone else. But I am actually the one who yearns the most for you to open up your heart." Callista slightly furrowed her brows. "Locked away. We didn't even stand a chance." His fingers traced a path over Callista's heart as he added, "It seems you've locked up your emotions too after you locked your heart away. You don't reach out to people, you don't flirt, and you don't even allow yourself to feel attraction. A person like you truly makes things difficult for everyone around you. If only you had opened your heart a bit sooner, would that have meant I might have had a chance?" After he finished speaking with a laugh, the expression on Callista's face gradually became more serious. "Did I, by any chance, cause any trouble for you all?" Although her outward appearance didn't show it, Jared could sense her inner unease. She was worried about negatively affecting those she cared about, hence, she had always been independent so as to avoid troubling anyone. Suddenly, Jared reached out, gently touched her head, and broke into a smile. Callista's heart was pure and tender. All her sharp edges were just a facade. She had been through an accident, yet she managed to retain her innate kindness. She was wise yet naive at the same time. That was what made her adorable and charming. It was no wonder they all adored her. In certain ways, her simplicity was irresistibly endearing. You would never be a bother to anyone, and if you were, it would only be a delightful inconvenience. Jared's words left Callista somewhat perplexed. Before she could make sense of it all, Jared's expression tensed up, followed by a slight curl of his lip. Callista followed his gaze down the road to its end, where Callum was casually leaning against a motorcycle. The last sliver of the setting sun's light bathed him, elongating his already tall figure. He glanced over, his usually bold features now held a hint of loneliness. He looked as if he had been waiting for a long time. Upon seeing him, Callista was initially taken aback, then inexplicably felt a tad guilty. Jared remained silent, but it was Callum who took the initiative. He walked over, draping a coat over her and smoothly led her away from Jared's embrace. Callum was helping her adjust her clothes when he said, "Mom cooked dinner tonight. She's waiting for us to come home and eat." Shall we go now? With just a single sentence, he left Jared speechless. Callum's words were laced with a tone of closeness that only a family could provide. Callista glanced at Callum, then turned back to Jared and said, "I'll get going now." After a moment of thought, she added, "Thank you for bringing me out to clear my mind. I had a lot of fun today." Only then did Jared's expression lighten slightly. His hand clenched and then released, and he muttered after a moment of silence, "Go ahead. I should be leaving too." Callista nodded and walked away without a backward glance. Chapter 480. Nothing to be jealous of. Jared had been watching them from behind for a long time. It wasn't until Callista got into the back seat and waved goodbye that he snapped out of it. What was he obsessing over? According to the family psychiatrist, no matter how many times you tell Callista, "I like you," to her, it's like saying, "I'll treat you to a meal." She might feel awkward for a moment, but that wouldn't reach her heart. Callum had reached his current position not only because he had planted himself firmly in her heart from the beginning, but also because he had repeatedly faced life and death situations, spending a long time and effort. His rewards came from opportunities he seized. There really was nothing to be jealous of. With these thoughts, Jared hopped onto his bike and rode off. This time, however, he didn't wear a helmet, letting the cold wind scrape against his face like a knife. Callum rode in the opposite direction from Jared. His speed wasn't fast, which puzzled Callista. After all, she had expected Callum to speed away. He didn't seem like the type to ride slowly. "Why aren't you going faster?" Callum's muffled voice came through his helmet, somewhat intermittent. "I want you to hold me a bit longer." Callista was momentarily speechless. As the bike rode along the mountain path at a slow pace, she could clearly see the beautiful sunset. Her negative emotions gradually dissipated, making her feel lighter. However, Callista wasn't destined to have dinner at Fairchild Manor, because at that moment, Benedict called her for Lee. When she answered, her previously serene expression turned cold. "I might need to go back to the Stafford residence." Callista unhappily nuzzled against Callum's back. Her unconscious action melted Callum's heart, and he immediately said, "No problem. We can go back after you've taken care of things." And so, they rode the motorcycle to the Stafford residence. Before they could even get in, they could hear someone crying inside. The voice was pitifully familiar to Callista. "Dad, you must help me this time. I wouldn't come to you if I weren't desperate. I promise this is the first and last time. After this, Devon and I will go abroad and never bother Callie again. Please, you have to help me." Quincy knelt on the ground, crying her heart out. She sounded earnest, as she just needed his help this one time. Benedict had initially intended to refuse, but Quincy wouldn't get up from the door. People around were pointing and whispering, making him feel awkward. He could be harsh with Yelena because she had deceived him first, but Quincy hadn't done anything wrong in principle. Although she wasn't his biological daughter, he had doted on her for 18 years. Seeing her now, haggard and pleading, he felt a twinge of pity. In short, Benedict's heart was too soft. "Callie will be back soon. You should ask her first about her opinion. After dealing with Yelena, Benedict had learned his lesson and dared not make promises, lest Callista blame him. Hearing this, Quincy quickly wiped her tears and said confidently, "Dad, Callie has always listened to you. Please put in a good word for me. Devin will be your son-in-law one day. You, Dad, when did you get another daughter?" Callista interrupted her and walked in. Her sudden appearance startled everyone in the living room. With Callum standing by her side, the noisy living room instantly fell silent. "What's going on?" Callum asked Benedict with displeasure. Although Benedict was kind-hearted, he was too easily swayed, which could easily cause trouble for Callista. Benedict instinctively stood a bit straighter when Callum questioned him. He hadn't expected Callum to come to and was just as flustered as Quincy. After a moment of surprise, the chubby man in the living room quickly came over to greet them. "Mr. Callum, it's an honor to meet you. I'm Isaac Webb, chairman of Havelock Corporation. I didn't expect to see you here, what a lucky day." Callum glanced at his outstretched hand and frowned, but he didn't shake it. "I asked, what are you all doing in my father-in-law's house?" Hearing Callum acknowledge Benedict as his father-in-law, Isaac immediately lost his contempt for Benedict. He awkwardly withdrew his hand but continued to smile. "To be honest, Mr. Callum, I'm here to ask for help." He pointed to a sullen man in a wheelchair and sighed, "My son has a strange illness. We've been to many hospitals, but no one can cure him. I originally wanted to ask Ms. Callista for help a long time ago, but, as Callum was concerned about Callista's safety, all her patients were strictly screened. Additionally, patients who violated certain taboos or had bad character wouldn't be accepted by her. Isaac's son, Devin Webb, was one such person. He was unable to even get an appointment with Callista due to his bad character." Callista glanced at the man, then at Quincy, who was silent. "So, you came to my house to ask for help? If you need help, just ask. Why all the crying? I could hear it from far away. It's bad luck.